Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Julia Seymour is here, too. Julia is editor and analyst at the Business and Media Institute. They're an organization that that pays attention to what the media is doing out there and takes these guys to task if they're not if they're biased in their reporting. And we're going to see what Julia has to say. Julia Seymour, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. What has gotten your organization's righteous indignation up lately?
Well, lately it's been related to the weather because, I know you told me before we went on the air that it's been cold out there and you've had some snow. And, well, D.C. got hammered last week. We had two blizzards in the span of a week.
And that was the second event of the year.
Yeah,
I mean, you'd already had one big snow.
We had a big snow December 18th and 19th that took a number of days to clean up after.
Right.
And our weekend snow this time was even worse, and then we had a Tuesday snowfall right after it. And Tuesday and Wednesday we actually had blizzard warnings because the visibility was
right.
So bad.
Right. And it shut the city down. I mean, in Washington, the government was closed down for several days.
It was. At least 3 days. I think it might have been four.
I think it was four.
My roommate.
I felt so much safer.
Yeah. I did too, actually. I was like, yes, they can't make any more bad decisions today.
That's right. They can't spend they said that the government was losing $100 billion a day. I actually felt like Main Street saved $100 billion a day when they were out.
It could have, certainly. Yeah. I know that I was watching some CNBC and they were watching the stock fluctuations and wondering if we were going to have, rallies because the government was
right.
Closed.
Well, all that fear and anxiety that I had kind of went away for those few days.
Oh yeah,
we love our government, folks. We're just teasing them a little bit.
But anyway, so we had all this snow, and this sort of prompted some conservatives to start making fun of the global warming alarmist.
Yeah,
James Inhofe, Senator from Oklahoma, his grandkids built an igloo on the National Mall here in Washington and christened it Al Gore's new home. Glenn Beck over at Fox News employed his trademark sarcasm, of course, to make fun of, the quote-unquote disappearance of Al Gore and Robert F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
Because they have been kind of
Unavailable lately, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. Well, but this got people at Huffington Post and Daily Coast and over at MSNBC.
You mean where there's no humor, where the
right.
Those places with the absence of any kind of sense of whimsy or hyperbole or silliness.
Apparently, they had no sense of humor because they immediately rushed to defend the theory of man-made global warming, and even Dylan Radigan on MSNBC actually went so far as to say that the snowpocalypse here in Washington was caused by global warming.
Yeah. Well, this is the interesting thing about the I call them the climate change zealots.
Yes.
That was the term I used in an article I wrote about them. And the thing is that regardless, see, you can't really have a debate or a discussion with people who, regardless of what they see the doctrine of their religion.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that religion is, if it's climate change, if it's theology, whatever their religion is, if it's capitalism, mm-hmm. if regardless of what you see the thing that supports your point of view, you can't have a debate with or a discussion with anybody like that.
That's so true. And unfortunately, it's also basically how the media have really been treating this like a religion. In that, they shut out debate. They rarely include skeptics, I should say. And then they say silly things like Dylan Radigan said when he said that the snow the snowpocalypse is are precisely what climate scientists have been predicting.
Is snowpocalypse the same thing as Snowmageddon?
Yes.
Okay.
We were using
right.
a lot of different
okay.
words.
Okay, I just want to make sure I knew which event we were talking about.
Yes.
Well, you know the thing is, though, is both sides of this issue need to pay attention to what we're talking about here because,
yes.
See, I am not a climate change zealot. However, I believe that there are some things happening in the climate that are changing.
Yes.
I actually believe, I can see how human beings would be making an impact on that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on one side of the issue and I'm on the other side of the issue, the position I just took is one that you and I can debate. We can
right.
talk about these things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But if every time something happens, you know, every time there's a heavy dew one morning, you see that as an evidence of climate change.
Yeah.
There's no way to talk about to you about
so
that.
So true.
And so the people on the right. Have to, you know, we can't, the people on, and I say on the right of this issue,
uh-huh.
which I consider myself to be on the right of this issue of climate change, we have to pay attention and not deny things that are evidence. I'm evident in front of us. Look at what China and India are doing. Millions of people cook their meals on charcoal
uh-huh.
in third world countries. You know, Americans don't. Because we don't use charcoal. That puts a lot of extra carbon in the air. We don't ride two-cycle engines around wherever
yeah.
we go, like they do in China and India. That's another reason why they're putting so much carbon in the... That can't, Julia, mm-hmm. that can't be good for the environment and for our climate. So I believe those things are not good.
Yeah. What I do, you know, I actually agree with you on much of that. But again, like, I'm not a scientist, and I think that part of the problem with the media, the way the media portray the global warming argument, is that they go, that they don't actually portray science as a varied thing.
Right.
Like, there are lots of people out there, and they're testing different hypotheses and coming up with different questions and answers
right.
and all of that.
But
they just pick the ones that they want that support what
and
they want
and
to
and those guys are the ones that are the doctrine. They're
yeah.
the ones that are right. Nobody else is right. And by the way, one of the co-winners of this Nobel Peace Prize that Al Gore won has been on my show twice, Dr. John Christie.
Oh, yeah.
And he completely disagrees with Al Gore. And we'll talk about that when we come back after these messages. 20 after, right back after these messages with Julia Seymour. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out, using it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow me there at Jim Blassingame if you would like to do that. Julia Seymour is our guest. She's our good friend, longtime Brain Trust member. She's with the Business and Media Institute. Julia, give us that website, please.
Sure. It's www.businessandmedia.org, businessandmedia.org.
Check it out. We're talking about some of the issues, the debate that should be happening, really. That's
yeah.
that's kind of not happening. It's more of an argument, but the debate that should be happening about climate change. And as we went to the break, Judy, I was pointing out that Dr. John Christie,
yes.
Was a co-winner of the Nobel Prize that Al Gore won, except he is on the other side of the fence. He's
yeah.
been on the show twice, and he said the difference between his work and the people that Al Gore follows
yeah.
is that he actually does real live sampling, real live research.
Yeah.
He says the guys that Al Gore follows are doing theoretical testing.
With models and computers.
With models. He says we're doing it on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And he's finding things that don't prove that disprove the Al Gore models, and which I thought was very interesting. But one point that I wanted to make that you said along the lines of what you said a minute ago, why these people are doing this, The argument I've got with those guys is they're not trying to find solutions mm-hmm. to climate change. They're trying to find ways to control my behavior.
Absolutely.
And that's where they've got a religion that they want me to subscribe to, and I'm not going to do that.
That is so dead on. And I was speaking when I was doing this story to Myron Ebel over at the Competitive Enterprise.
He's been on the show many times.
And, you know, he told me that all of the way that the media treat global warming, and how even after a blizzard, they were trying to say pin this on global warming, is because global warming alarmism isn't really a scientific theory as much as it's a political program.
Yeah,
that was his perspective.
But
and,
for
and
some, it is a religion. I mean, I know people. Yeah. I know people who worship at the throne of climate change.
Yeah. But I think one thing the media in particular really need to stop doing is blaming weather events on climate change. Because weather and climate aren't the same.
Right.
But the only time I've really seen them come out and say weather wasn't climate was when this cold snap happened.
Yeah.
ABC's Bill Blakemore came out and was trying to say weather isn't climate, so it doesn't disprove global warming.
Right.
But they never turn it around or even bother to look at all the crazy things they blamed on warming.
But when it was hot and dry,
exactly,
then weather was climate.
Right.
For those guys.
And they've blamed everything. You know, growth or shrinking of coral reefs, destruction or growth of bananas, less snowfall, more snowfall, yeah. Earthquakes. Everything gets blamed on global warming. And there's a British professor who created a website linking to hundreds of media stories have blamed global warming for something. That's linked in my story if people want to read it.
Well, and you know the climate change zealots are not having a good year right now.
No, they're not.
They're not having a good year, and I'm hoping, seriously, Julia, is that somehow over the next year or two, we can come together with things that are less emotional and more appropriate for how we can all human beings,
yeah.
How we can do things that are less harmful to the environment. You
sure.
know what? I'm not a tree hugger, but it would be fine with me if we cut down fewer rainforests.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd like that very much. I'm kind of on their side on that. You know, I mean, do we all need to, you know, do we need to improve to use more efficient technology? But here's one thing, Julia, that really irritates me about the climate change folks.
Yes.
American businesses are the most carbon efficient of anybody in the history of mankind and currently on the planet per dollar of GDP production.
Wow.
See, that's what you got to say. You got to talk about how much we produce. You can't say how much do we put in the air
right.
total, because but per dollar of GDP, we blow everybody else away. And
right.
and that's been because over the last 30 years, we've been buying equipment that's been a lot more efficient. We've been innovating with a lot more carbon efficient equipment. But we're not getting credit for that, see?
No, we don't. Businesses just get trashed in the news for being evil polluters and
right. And instead of saying, okay, guys, here's a good direction that you're going in. What can we do to take this farther?
Yeah.
How can we make this a business a decision?
And the thing is, when the technology is profitable, you know, if they can find ways to make their business more profitable by being, you know, more efficient and more green, then businesses are going to do that by choice. They don't need
imposed. That's exactly what's happened. But let me tell you something that the government hasn't helped with. Did you know that they allowed the research and development tax credit to lapse at the end of last year?
I was not aware of that.
They did. Now, they can always go back and pick it back up.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, it's not in force.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, that's contrary to the goals of the administration and the leadership in the Congress.
Right.
Right? Because they should be mm-hmm. encouraging people to innovate. And they dropped that tax credit. And that's just a mistake. And Julia, give us that website one more time,
please. Sure. It's www.businessandmedia.org.
So check it out, folks, and see Julia's report there and all the other things they do there. Thanks, Julia, for being here. Good job, Julia.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Quick break. Stay with me. 29 after. I'll be right back.
Yeah, that's it.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.